This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
It's time for Emergence News on Plains FM 96.9, citizen-made radio.
Hello and welcome to Emergence News, where we talk about the emergence of a teacher for this time, an avatar, the world teacher. I was recently challenged on the term avatar, so let's have a look at the Share International website, by the way, a stunning resource for all things spiritual, to see what they have to say. Now, Benjamin Krem, who's our oracle, provided these ideas. Here's the definition of an avatar. A spiritual being who descends in answer to mankind's call and need. There are human, planetary, and cosmic avatars. The latter would be called divine incarnations. Their teaching, correctly apprehended and gradually applied by humanity, expands our understanding and presents the next step forward in mankind's evolutionary development. And I guess when we think of a cosmic avatar, of recent times.
Sai Baba.
Okay. Now, the other thing that Benjamin Krem has talked about is this avatar of synthesis, a great cosmic being who embodies the energy of will, love, intelligence, and another energy for which we have as yet no name. Since the 1940s, he has been sending these energies into the world, gradually transforming division into unity. So, to the listeners out there, if you're currently having a hard time, there's some really good reasons for that. Because if you see the world as one of energy and humanity as a form of energy, then we are getting bathed in many types of energy to stimulate us. And often, as the esoteric teachings tell us, crisis precedes great change. And currently on old planet Earth,
we're living right through it, the crisis.
There is an awful lot of crisis. Mm. Right. Anyway, carrying on with this idea of avatar, because I went down a bit of a rabbit hole with it, a good rabbit hole, I might say, with lots of really nice lighting and flowers along the path. Buddha, the last avatar for the age of Aries. So Buddha's an avatar. He's a previous world teacher who manifested through the Prince Gautama. Around 500 BC, he was the embodiment of wisdom, currently acts as the divine intermediary between Shambhala and hierarchy. We'll explain those later. Buddhists expect the next great teacher under the name Maitreya Buddha. All right, so many now expect the return of an awaited teacher, and this is a really common thread through many of our planet's philosophies.
And religions.
Mm. Whether they call him the Christ, the Messiah, the fifth Buddha, Krishna, or the Imam Mahdi, millions now know that the one who fulfills all these expectations, we call Maitreya, the world teacher, is living among us and is gradually emerging into full public recognition. So our program is talking about this emergence, the history, the current format, and also some other ideas that hang around this change of society that we're all witnessing. Maitreya is a teacher for all humanity, those of all spiritual traditions and those who follow no particular faith.
And Benjamin Krem says that we will all, on a very subtle level, remember him and recognise him. And is that Peter because he is one of us? He's actually from the human race.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
he's gone through the five initiations. And
yes, I think he took the third initiation with the Buddha back in Atlantean times.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And of course, the Buddha was from a previous system, but
yeah.
So he is truly our elder brother.
Yes.
Maitreya is definitely from the earth. Humanity.
And you know what? I love that nice little segue you gave me there, Peter, because Maitreya has not come alone, but with a group of wise men, the Masters of Wisdom, who have long worked from behind the scenes as the inspirers, teachers, and guides of humanity. They are returning to the everyday world to help us solve our most critical global problems. And I guess those that have got some sort of spiritual background, some education, some interest in things esoteric will know a number of the masters. But anyway, I'm going to talk about Maitreya's priorities. Simple priorities that demand immediate and worldwide attention. And these, in our current times, are going to seem really obvious. The essential needs of every man, woman, and child, an adequate supply of food, right housing, right healthcare, and education as universal rights, housing as a universal right. And of course, overlaying that most recently is this absolute need to restore our planetary environment. So Maitreya will inspire us to create a new civilization, but we will have to do the work. Okay, so that's our intro. Today we're going to talk about, and we have had an earlier discussion around this topic, oligarchy and hierarchy. But first, let me challenge our audience, and I've asked this before and I'm going to ask it again. If Buddha were alive today and was giving a talk near you, say in a large stadium, or on YouTube or television, would you attend? Would you be interested? If Jesus was alive today and doing a world tour, would you go and catch him somewhere at a stadium, at a venue? I would love to hear Muhammad speak. I would sit in a crowd and listen intently to Krishna. Imagine spending time in the presence of these teachers and getting the latest updates directly from the source, avoiding the confusion and interpretation and outright manipulation. I would go and sit and listen. All right, today we're going to talk about hierarchy and oligarchy. Nigel, what do you got?
Well, I was just thinking, I went to see the Dalai Lama when he was here in Christchurch.
So did I.
And there was about 500-600 of us there.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was my experience of listening to somebody who I really respected,
yeah,
in regard to religion, spirituality, and a true leader of his people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what I loved about the guy is just like the author Benjamin Krem that we talk about,
yeah,
great sense of humour.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Peter, what have you got for us today?
Yes, well, I'm just had a look at some of Maitreya's Mission, actually Volume 1 that Benjamin Krem wrote. And, of course, it's got all sorts of answers to questions and that sort of thing. And he was talking about the increase in the force of light. And, of course, someone was saying, well, what about the increase in the forces of the dark, of the Black Lodge?
Yeah.
And he replies by saying that it is true to say that the spiritual influence of the hierarchy is increasing in the world. The efforts of the Black Lodge will increase also.
Yeah.
However, that is not to say that their influence will also increase. In other words, their efforts will increase, but they may not be successful. This is what he's more or less saying. Yeah. They're fighting a losing battle, as Maitreya himself has said, and the end is known from the beginning.
Yes.
I love that term. And he foresees total victory for the forces of light, while working only from the soul level, of course, the hierarchy of masters have been at a disadvantage in relation to the Black Lodge, which works on the physical and astral planes.
Yes.
And, of course, people's emotions are very easy to stir up, aren't they?
Yes, well, we've seen a little bit of that lately, haven't we?
We certainly have. There's polarisation going left, right and centre. Yes. And the return, actually, of Maitreya and his group of masters, however, says this, this situation is changed. So the lords of materiality will be sealed off to their own domain, the upholding of the matter aspect of the planet. It's quite interesting that they do have a role, and it is upholding the matter aspect of the planet.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean to say that they should be trying to hold us back from evolving, because this is what we're here to do, is actually evolution and evolve to become masters ourselves. So, you know, any attempt by the dark forces to hold us in thraldom, if you like, is against God's plan. So obviously this is something that we've got to be aware of.
Okay. Nice, Peter. Now listen, Nigel, I'm just going to throw a few ideas around about oligarchy and hierarchy. And we were talking earlier. I got a nice definition of hierarchy. I pulled it off the internet. And as you know, the internet's really rock solid, right? Definition of hierarchy, a division of angels, a ruling body of clergy organized into orders or ranks, each subordinate to the one above, especially bishops or in the province of religion. Hierarchy, ranks of different types of angels in the celestial order. Isn't that interesting that the hierarchy of masters use that term? Now, I've got one about oligarchy, and I'll wrap up my intro with this term, oligarchy. Oligarchy is a form of power structure in which power rests with a small number of people. These people may be distinguished by nobility, wealth, family ties, education or corporate, religious, political or military control. Now, Oxfam tells us that 8 men control 50% of the world's wealth. That's oligarchy. And I would suggest to everybody today that there's not much good quality democracy around at the moment. All right, you're with Emergence News, and we're going to come back shortly to Peter and Nigel. Okay, let's go straight to Nigel.
Last year, Peter, we broadcast a program called Hierarchy versus Oligarchy. And it was broadcast on Plains FM here in Christchurch on the 4th of October 2021. I decided to have a listen to that program when you, Peter, and Shafir presented it.
Yep.
And I couldn't get over the fact just how very topical and relevant it is right now here on dear old planet Earth.
Yep.
If you ever wanted to understand the relevance of the sword of cleavage, or as Alice Bailey would describe it, the divine sword of discernment.
Ooh. Discernment.
Yeah, I quite like that. Then that podcast, that program is a really good one to listen back to. You can visit the Plains FM website and check out Emergence News, that in the podcast library, or you could visit the New Zealand Share International website. And on that website, there is a huge library of all our programs over the years, and you can listen back to it on that via YouTube.
Just give me again the date of the program.
4th of October last year.
You did that without even looking at your notes. That's quite amazing.
I do surprise sometimes. Now, what I enjoyed about that program was the three of you had very specific roles. You, John, were in charge of dictionary definitions.
Yeah.
And you do enjoy yourselves with them. And one of the different definitions that you talked about, or the one that sort of caught my ear, was contemporary America is an oligarchy. With its great wealth and inequality, it enables economic elite and corporations and conglomerations to influence public policy to their advantage, often against the preferences of the majority, us ordinary citizens.
Yeah.
Such elites tend to exercise power in the interests of their own class.
Mm-hmm.
So there was some interest. And you also, I remember that you, Aristotle and Karl Marx were a couple of definitions that you used from them, mm-hmm. which all those years ago are just as relevant
so
right
topical.
Now. Yeah, so I really do encourage you to have a listen to the first edition of Hierarchy versus Oligarchy back in October 2021. Listen to that podcast, and a lot of what we're saying today will make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, our colleague Shafir spoke about the spiritual hierarchy, and I have to say that if you ever want to listen to an account of the spiritual hierarchy, what it is, its structure, its form, the personnel that are involved and their responsibilities, Shafir gave a really good description of all those facets of the spiritual hierarchy and how they concern themselves in 7 key areas. There's religion, science and political. They're the big three. But there's also cultural, philosophical, psychological and financial.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm interested in today, financial, because I think the materialism is right at the heart of commercialisation and what is going wrong at the moment and causing so much of this crisis.
Don't make me wait any longer, Nigel. Get
I know.
To me.
I know it really it riles you, this
I
stuff,
know,
doesn't
this
it?
This stuff gets me fired up.
It does, so I better get this out quick. The financial area is an interesting one. The hierarchy are concerned with the worldwide economic problems and also basic materialism. The basic materialism that's found in the modern world, the production of right attitudes towards material living is what concerns the hierarchy.
Right.
The process of right distribution of the world's resources. So you can see the conflict already between oligarchy and hierarchy there.
Mm-hmm.
Completely different objectives.
Yeah.
One's for us, one's for me.
Right.
So the work of the hierarchy, as Krem would say, is synthetic. It touches every field of activity, implementing the divine plan on the physical plane. It's a big challenge, isn't it, that? In terms of right relationships and sharing between people requires not only dedicated workers with vision, insight and practical abilities, but also sound business technique, communication and financial systems. So all branches of spiritual and humanitarian work today, without exception, needs money.
Right.
As Foster Bailey writes, just as money has been in the past the instrument of selfishness, now it must be the instrument of our goodwill.
That's an interesting turnaround.
It is, isn't it? And that was written back in, what was it, the 30s or the 40s, Foster Bailey? Oh, no, it might have been in the 50s, actually. One of the key areas facing the financial group in the hierarchy today is developing a world economy based on sharing to meet the needs of all humanity. And it's the injustice of the present, this is going to rile you up, it is the injustice of the present economic system that is bringing it to its knees, isn't it? I think what makes you angry is it's the injustice of it.
Yes. It is the injustice of it, and the thing that keeps me sane is one of Benjamin Krem's quotes, which I use often, and that is, we are witnessing the collapse of our civilization. When I got my head around that, I got less riled up, because if that is the truth, then what is happening is obvious. If that's not the truth, then what we've got is a really dysfunctional system that's not sustainable. But if we are just collapsing our civilization, then that makes more sense to me.
Yeah, and your old mate, the Oracle, Benjamin Krem, writes, market forces, there's that ugly term again,
yeah.
Market forces, which are based on division, separation and competition, act against the evolutionary process.
Right. We could do a whole program on the failings of competition. We get locked out.
Well, that's right, because key capitalists still control our government.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't matter what country. Well, that's not true, but most countries, we have this problem.
Neoconservative liberalism as a form of extreme capitalism is still the flavour of the day in political circles in New Zealand.
And that just began to really flourish in the 80s in this country, didn't
it? Right, right. 1984, fourth Labour government,
that's
David Longy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, on that program, just leaving the hierarchy and what Shafir was talking about, I just want to touch on some of what Peter talked about. And Peter, in particular, the media. And I was really interested in what Peter said when he talked about the rich and the powerful owning 90% of media and social media. The risk of media bias and even suppression of information is very real in countries such as America, where 90% of the media is owned by just six corporations.
Yes.
And what is really disturbing is that of those six corporations, they're all so interconnected, they're practically one.
Right.
So what you have is you have products and stories and themes being projected, but the same ideas are being advanced with mutual interest.
Yes.
And that colours our media.
That is oligarchy. That is a special interest group with its hands on the levers, global levers, that are saying a similar thing.
And here in New Zealand, in recent years, we've been dominated by multinational corporations, and the expansion of Google and Facebook are the obvious examples. And note that Facebook, Messenger, Instagram, all share the same owner.
Yeah.
And in 2019-2020, YouTube and Google were the most visited websites in New Zealand, and guess what? Google acquired YouTube back in 2006.
Nigel, I don't think I can leave this room. I think I'm so scared now I'm going to stay here. Give us some good news.
Okay, just to finish, a little bit of good news. A couple of messages, one from Bernie Sanders. He says, this is Russia's oligarchy. In 2017, it was estimated that Putin was worth some $200 billion.
Ooh.
Last year, Russia's 120 billionaires owned $588 billion in wealth. That's equal to 60% of that country's household wealth. We must destroy global oligarchy and create an economy that works for all, not the few. So that's Bernie Sanders.
We love Bernie.
Let's go back. Let's wind the dial back. Go back a few years, a few decades. Alice Bailey wrote, but we will face a decisive choice. It goes without saying that we will live in a completely different world than the one we know today, with real and divine human values and never equal before. And we will say to ourselves, how could we behave like barbarians among ourselves?
Nigel, thank you very much. Peter, thank you very much. Good times are coming, but we've got to go through some rough stuff to start with.
This is the Emergence News on Plains FM. For more information, go to shareinternational.org.
OK, let's go to Peter. Peter, bring us home. Thanks, big guy.
OK. This is from actually the last Share International, the March Share International, which has just arrived.
We love Share International.
Yep. The time is fast approaching when political, economic and religious totalitarianism, denying human freedom, well-being, liberty and the human right to believe what one desires, will be over. A new freedom is awaiting humanity just around the corner. But that new freedom has, above all, the necessity of responsibility. We have to take upon ourselves the responsibility for each other. Maitreya puts it very simply, take your brother's need as the measure for your actions and solve the problems of the world. There is no other course. That's from Benjamin Krem, Maitreya's Mission, Volume 2.
Mm, very good.
That's the good news you're after.
That's the good news.
Yes, and when men see the Christ, Maitreya, in person, they will quickly assume a new attitude to life and its problems. They will understand that the problems are man-made, exist in man himself, and are not the fault of an uncaring God or the result of mindless chance. A new sense of responsibility will endow men with the impulse to act for the betterment of all. Cooperation, caring, and trust will soon replace the present self-concern, and a new phase will open in the evolution of man. There we have it.
That is great. Thank you very much. Thank you, listeners, and we'll be back here in another little while. All this information can be found on the Share International website, www.share-international.org. And also don't forget the podcasts, which are available on the Plains FM website.
We welcome your comments, questions and feedback. Please contact us at emergencenews@gmail.com.